And yes, he does, and that is exactly why we have Missions Conference, because Jesus saves. We want to welcome you to Volusia County Baptist Church this morning. So glad you're here. And we're going to start off this morning with our reading of Scripture. And if you're new to us at Volusia County Baptist Church, you'll find it in your bulletin there in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, a familiar passage to some, but so applicable to today. Starting in Matthew 28, on the bold verses, we'll all read together. It says there in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Brother Philip Pritchard, sir, if you'd come and open our service in word of prayer. And we're thrilled to have each of our missionaries here this morning, as Pastor will mention later. But he with Preach Ministries, and if you'll come and pray for the Lord's blessing on this service, sir.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day, your day, a blessed day, Lord, in your house. Lord, thank you for these, your people, Lord, called by your name, have come to lift you up, Lord, have come to learn of you, Lord, to make much of you. Lord, may we not be as those who have come to worship, but Lord, in doubt. But Lord, may we with complete faith, Lord, and complete confidence of what we know, Lord, that we would worship you this morning and lift you high above every other. Lord, be with our service. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in everything that is said and done. Lord, if there be one this morning that does not know you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day in which he would call upon you. Lord, that he would find the saving faith, the saving grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and stand as we turn to hymn number 438. Jesus Saves, hymn number 438.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Rent the tidings all around. Jesus Saves.
Jesus Saves, Be Thou My Vision, great songs for to theme this conference here today. Thank you for coming and being with us this morning, a special day in the life of our church. I put in there in the bulletin a little statement there that missions is the life of our church. It is the life of our church. You cannot do too much for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all for us. And what a joy it is to meet together and to decide what can I do more to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And that's what Mission Conference is all about. And we're glad to have missionaries with us, some that are returning, some that we support, and we're hearing updates of their work, and then some new friends that we're partnering with, and God willing, we're going to be able to add them to our full-time list. So we'd like to introduce one of these to us here today, Brother Kendall and Jessica Wadley. Brother Kendall pastors, come on ahead, sir, if you will. Brother Kendall pastors the Near North Baptist Church way up in Ontario, Canada. And God has done a marvelous work in his heart and his life, and bringing him there to minister in Canada. He tells me that there's lots and lots of trees up there. He tells me that people are spread out everywhere, but yet people are coming and driving upwards of an hour to come to their church. And I think there was four or five people there when he went. And God has blessed and is moving miraculously. It's a joy to have these dear folks, servants of God. And let's see, they have, Gemma is about almost 2 years old, is that right? And she's here with them in the nursery. And it's good to have Jessica. Jessica, would you stand, please? Good to have you here. God bless you. Thank you so much. Brother Kendall, if you would, take a few minutes and tell us, give us a testimony of what God's doing in your room.
Thank you so much. This church has already been so kind to us since we've been here. We truly appreciate that. My name is Kendall Wadley. My wife's name is Jessica and Gemma, and we have one on the way in July, so we're expecting our second. So if you pray for Jessica in that way. I was born and raised in Newport, Tennessee, which is about an hour east of Knoxville, Tennessee. I graduated from Crown College. I grew up in a church quite like this. It was an independent Baptist church. I heard the gospel at the age of 5 years old. And through the children's meetings in the church, I woke my dad up on a Sunday afternoon. He showed me from the Bible that we were all sinners. We'd broken God's law. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. If I personally trusted him as my Savior, I would be saved. And that day, I put my faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. When I was 13, the Lord called me to preach. And I began to preach when I was 14. And little did I know that I would end up in Canada. And so I graduated from Bible college in 2009. And after which, I did some short-term mission work. And then I went back to Crown College for a master's degree, and they sent me up to North Bay, Ontario. Never been to Canada. I said, this is great. We get to go to Canada. And I've always wanted to see Canada. And 3 days into the trip, we went to the Near North Baptist Church. And I thought, what is Near North Baptist Church? And I found out later it was the name of the district or like a county here. And so went to the church, and it was meeting on Main Street at the time, and there were two families in the church other than the pastor and his wife. There was a missionary pastor there at that time. He was a church planter. He was going to turn it over to a younger guy to see the thing strengthened so that we could start churches. And so he was there faithfully serving for about 9.5 years. Well, little did I know I'd meet my wife there. So we came to sing and to recruit students, and she ended up recruiting me to Canada. And so We met there, stayed in contact after the summer, got engaged, and I moved up to Canada 5 months before we were married. And I, at that time, did not know I was going to be the pastor of that church. I knew I was open to missions around the world, but as I was there, I always thought Canada was just like America, and I saw it was different. And you would speak to people who had never heard about Jesus. We had one young man that came to our Sunday school. He said, are you going to talk about that book again? And I said, you mean the Bible? He said, yeah, that book you talk about all the time. So he didn't even know it was called a Bible. And we had lots of opportunities like that to share the gospel. In our town, there are 54,000 people. It services an area of over 100,000 people. My mother-in-law drives an hour and 15 minutes one way to buy groceries. And so when I came to the church, there was Jessica, myself, Jessica's parents, and another family, and two individuals. And so the two families that drove, my in-laws and the other family, they drove over an hour, either two different directions, to get to the church. And so there was hardly anybody from the town that actually went to the church. So it was like restarting all over again. And so we started there. We needed a building. God provided us a building 2 years ago. That's a whole nother story. If you'd like to hear that later, it's a miracle how God provided that. And since we moved into that building, God has been adding new visitors almost every single week. God has been working in a great way. Just a few weeks ago, I was in a prison visiting a young man who's 21 years old, ruined and wrecked by sin, and sat across the glass from him in the prison. And he told me that the first time after we met and I gave him the gospel, he went to his cell and he prayed and received Christ as his personal Savior. There are stories like that over and over again. 3 weeks ago, we had a Christmas carol service. And we visited, and we had 50 people there for that morning service. And we had 18 first-time visitors who'd never been there before. And we were so encouraged. Parents of Sunday school children who had we've been working on for 3.5 years to get them to come to church. And so we're going to ask you to do one thing. If you'd just pray for us. We're thankful for the support we've already received here. We're thankful for everything this church has done already. But please pray. It gets minus 40 in the wintertime. And that's when Fahrenheit and Celsius meet, so it's the same. 3.5 feet of snow was in my yard the day we drove to the Toronto airport to fly to Orlando. And so that can get discouraging sometimes when there's lower attendance in the wintertime. But you pray for us and pray for our new disciples that have been won to the Lord and pray we get strong enough. Our church is not a self-supporting church yet. We're getting there, but we need to get to the point where we are self-supporting so that we can go out and start other churches. So if you pray for us in that way, we'd truly be grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, it's exciting. I'm so thankful for these men that are here with us. And Brother Wadley, we're looking forward to hearing more about your work there. He'll be sharing his presentation on Tuesday. Let me encourage you to come back tonight. In addition to Brother Marwelli that we'll be introducing in just a few minutes, in addition to him preaching, and you're going to hear him this morning, and you're going to say, wow, what a wonderful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a preacher of the gospel, and you're going to want to come back tonight. In addition to that, great music, and also our Children's Music Academy Kids Choir will be singing tonight, and that'll be a stirring thing for our hearts. And on Tuesday night is teen night. All of our young people after church will have pizza for all of our teens that night. No teenager likes pizza, I know that, but we will force them to eat a piece. And so we'll have that and other things for teenagers on Tuesday night. And Thursday night, we're having a wonderful banquet. Now, you don't have to prepare anything except if you'd like to bring some dessert, that would be nice, if you could bring some desserts. But otherwise, the whole menu is prepared for you. It is delicious, and we're going to set up the activities building as a big banquet hall, and we'll have our meeting in there Thursday night. It will not be food from around the world. It'll be food that you recognize. Amen. And you'll know it, you'll smell it, and you'll say, "Wow, I can't wait to get it." And it will be very nicely served. Our teenagers will be serving you. You won't go through the buffet line. You'll come and you'll sit down, and you'll be served all your dinner, all your food, and it'll be a marvelous time Thursday evening. Now, the weeknight services, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, are at 7 p.m., 7 o'clock. Tonight, of course, regular time, 6 o'clock. Tonight, 6 o'clock. But all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And let me encourage you, please. This meeting is what our church is all about. This meeting is why our church exists. If we cease, please understand, I say this with clarity from God's word, if we cease to have a burden to reach the lost, then God's hand of blessing and God's spirit just come off of this church, come off of this work. And this is why Christians are still breathing, is because God still has a plan for our life. And if God leaves you here, it is for a purpose. And God's left our church here for a purpose. So every night, I know it's busy. I know the school and all that kind of thing. We're going to do our best to be out of here no later than 8:30 every night. and we'll move things along and click things. It's an hour and a half of your time, 7 o'clock to 8:30. Please try to be here. Some of you have to work at nights, and God understands that. But listen, there's nothing on TV that even comes close to competing with what God's doing here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. So let me please, as your pastor, implore that God wants to bless you. He wants to do something great in your life. Thursday night, we're going to give you something that I have never been in a church, never been a member of, to receive. As a pastor, I pastored 10 years in West Virginia before coming here. And we never were able to do this while I pastored there. We're going to give you on Thursday night at the banquet a complete, beautiful, pictorial directory of all of our missionaries. In here will be the missionaries, their names, a description of their ministry, where they serve, what they do, if they're planting a church, if they're leading an orphanage, you know, all those kinds of things you're going to know. You're going to know the names of the children. You're going to know the birthdays, the anniversaries, and an email address. Now, I encourage you to take this and pray through this every day. Lord, I'm praying for the, I just opened it up here, right here on the right, the Fleming family. Lord, I'm praying for the Flemings. I'm asking you to meet their every need. And Brother Mark, I know, is watching by way of live stream, and this must have been of the Lord, Brother Mark, because I just fanned it open, and there you are. And Brother Mark would love to be here, and he is one cold away from glory. And we cough and sneeze and shake hands and all that kind of thing. He's one cold away from going to heaven. And so that's why he cannot be here with us in the midst. He watches religiously, so to speak, and he can't go into work. He works from home and all that kind of thing. They're for New Tribes Mission and doing a great work. And I'm so thankful for him and for Cassie now on the field. And all of these are listed here. And I encourage you, you might even have a missionary. I don't know, some of you might want to take one of these, and when a missionary shows up that's on your booklet, you might go up to him and say, hey, would you sign right there? You know, I don't know. It might be something that would remind you that you had a personal contact. You personally talked with that missionary. And this is a marvelous thing that Michelle and Melissa Rogers have worked tirelessly putting this together, taking all the information that Brother Don Orser has gathered, and we have back there on that little display, the TV display back there, and now they've made it in such a way that it'll fit inside your Bible cover, it'll fit there on your dining room table, and we'll give these away to you on Thursday night at the banquet. And I trust that you'll be here to get that marvelous, exciting week that we have. And it just reminds us that we preach one message, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. We preach Christ. Listen to the choir sings.
Yes. And for me to live is
Christ.
It doesn't change. The continuity. He provides all of that. Isn't that wonderful about our Lord? Man, it's a great start. I know you're excited. You have to be. In all of this, how could you not be? You may be here for the first time this morning. What a unique day to be here for the first time. But I don't know that you could be here on a better day to get a sense for what our heartbeat is. And that is the great commission of our Lord as He lives through us the gospel message that we want to see spread throughout the nations. If it is your first time here, there's going to be some guys coming down forward. Men, if you will, come on down here. And they're going to be prepared to hand something to you in just a moment because we want to know if it's your first time here at the home place. If you're a guest for the first time here this morning, we'd like to give you a card and a pen. You keep the pen. Fill the card out, put it in the offering plate in just a moment. We'll have a record of your visit and be able to send you a proper thank you for your time here with us. If it is your first time, will you just slip your hand up briefly as these men make their way to the back? Just slip it up long enough for them to see you, and they will drop that card and pen into your hand. So if you could just catch them on the way by, guys, don't miss them. They're looking around. Wonderful. Thank you so much for doing that. That is an honor for us to be able to acknowledge your presence here. So thank you for letting us know about that. There are some things that we all need to understand are going on, even though Missions Conference is first and foremost, and we're not going to take away from that at all. Pastors mentioned all the things about that this week, but I want to remind you about some upcoming things just briefly. A lot of this is in your bulletin. Please get your bulletin and see what is there. Super Seniors has got an event coming up, but what's not in your bulletin is 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll have that shopping trip that we had to move from this past week, okay? So the shopping trip that was supposed to be on Monday, Brother Jim's healing up. And so 2 weeks from tomorrow, and I'll remind you about that next week. Glad to see Miss Fran here. Boy, we had Brother Tom's service this past week, and see the family there with you as well. Man, that is tremendous. And she's had a rough week. Y'all need to pray for Miss Fran, not just from the funeral, but she's just had a hard week. So you continue to pray for her as well, if you will, please. I'll draw your attention to the ladies' Bible study, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow as well. That's in the evening. The super seniors are in the morning, during the day. And then the ladies' Bible study, Miss Hope teaching that. Refreshments are provided. 6:30, be there for that sweetheart retreat. I've already got registrations coming in. I want to see more of them coming in. Get those. There's brochures on the back. I gave them out last week. If you don't have one, we'll get another one into your hands. But couples with school age kids or below, high school age or below, we want you there. Please, we need you to be there. The others, we don't just want you to be there because of your needs. We need you as well. So sign up. Don't let money be the reason you can't go. Communicate to me the need that you have. We'll do everything that we can to make sure you're there. And I believe God will allow that for you to be there. Church directories coming up. Those photos, I'm going to post on Facebook this week a link that you can go to and go ahead and sign up for that. A couple of more things that are quick here. Tithing envelopes are still back in the back. Those are available, so see Miss Michelle or whoever mans that table after the service for that. Christmas cards are also back in the activities building. Those are not going to last much longer. They're going to go away. And I saw names of people that are sitting in here. Go by and check that. Make sure you don't have some. Somebody's going to find me and tell me I've got one in there after making that announcement 2 weeks in a row. I have checked. I have checked, okay? And also, those of you that are going with us to Israel next month, if you did not get an email from me, I have some information that I want to put into your hands. Please see me about that as soon as the service is over. Thank you, Brother Tim.
And then we had a great showing for our teen parent meeting last Sunday. Thank you for coming. If you were unable to be here last Sunday or for some reason you were not able to make it to that meeting, please see me. I need to get some information to you. But then also, if you have teenagers that are going to camp that are going to be helping us serve, be looking for an email from me this week as we'll be confirming some info for you about that. And if you didn't get that info to me, that's another reason why we need the info. And then we're looking forward to our teen mall hunt on next Friday, January the 27th. A great time for that where we're going to it's really a free event for the parents because we know you're the ones who have to dish out the money for all these activities. But we have a great need of help for this. And if you're in the single college and career age bracket, the Horizons class, we spoke with some of you about helping last week. We're going to have a sign-up sheet in the back. If you're able to help us with that, we need some people for the teenagers to find. And whether you just want to hide throughout the mall or you'd like to be an individual that maybe likes to dress up and trying to disguise yourself. All is welcome with that. And so we'll have the sign-up sheet in the back for that, if you can help us with that. Well, we're going to stand and sing song number 441, Rescue the Perishing.
Hymn number 441. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Our ushers are going to come down in just a moment. Before they do, let me talk with you about something that's in your bulletin. There's a little card in your bulletin. If you could slip that out of the bulletin and look at it where you can see it there. The way our church supports missions is by faith. Now, our theme for the year is just live by faith. What this is all about is just give by faith. Now, every year we ask our people who are faithfully giving. Many of you support God's work here at Volusia County Baptist Church with your tithe. Now, a lot of people, we don't pronounce that correctly, and so they think that we're talking about a tie, you know, and so I bring my tie to church. No, it's a tithe, tithe. And that's an old term that means tenth or 10%. And God said that he will make 90% go farther than we can make 100% go. And that's God's promise. You give me the tithe, the tenth of your earnings, you give me one-tenth, 10% of it, and I will bless and I will rebuke the devourer and I will take care of you and bless you beyond your wildest dreams. He's promised to do that. I've seen him do that in my life. And God's math does not make sense to us, humanly speaking. He's able to do the miraculous. Now, to many people, that's old hat. You've seen God bless, and as you've obeyed the Lord in that, then we ask you to take the next step. We ask you to take the next step beyond that and say, now, Lord, I believe that I can be involved personally in helping the gospel go around the world. Now, we do not take out of our church budget to support Brother Wadley, to support Brother Pritchard. We don't. We take from the gifts that God gives through his people that are designated as missions giving, that they promise by faith to give to the Lord throughout the year. Now you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet right now. Well, none of us do. None of us do. None of us have any promise of tomorrow. We don't know what the stock market's going to do. We don't know any of those things. You could save up $100,000 and think you're pretty well okay and have a heart attack, and you find out that you're $150,000 in debt after the $100,000 was spent. Or you might find that the dollar just bottoms out and the banks close before you even have a chance to get to it. What I'm telling you is this: riches are uncertain, but God's promises are stable and strong. And I would rather bank on his economy than mine any day. So God's work will go on without us. It will go on without you. It will go on without me. He invites us to be a part of it so that he can bless us because of it, so that we can rejoice that we have a small part in what God is doing. That's what this is about. So if you look at this, it says Faith Promise Commitment 2017. As God enables me, I'm reading this in the brown here. As God enables me, my 2017 weekly commitment to missions through Faith Promise is. And then that's where we write down weekly what God lays upon our heart that we not can give, but will give because God has laid it upon our heart. Now, you say, well, I don't know that I have that to give. If God lays it upon your heart, God will give it to you to give. And with that, he'll stick some more in your pocket that will stay there to continue to meet your needs. I'm not saying that as a preacher. I'm saying that as a teenager, I learned that great truth. As a teenager. And I can give you example after example after example of how God stayed true to his promise. As I stepped out on faith, just live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, this is our faith promise giving. Now, over here on the right-hand side, there's a list, and there's some figures here on the weekly. And if your dollar amount is not listed there, then just fill it in the little blank. And then if you would fold that, you don't have to do this right now. We're going to be doing this on Thursday night and on next Sunday. This is what you turn in. I want you to look real closely at this little piece of paper here. There is no place for your signature. No one's going to knock on your door, send you an email, or call you and say, hey, Abner, where's your money for last month? No one's going to do that because this is between you and the Lord. And then we, by faith, are going to take these and say, praise God, we can take on these two new missionaries. And maybe three more, you know, later on this year. Wonderful. Praise God, because God has moved to the hearts and the minds of God's people here at BCBC. So this is basically deciding the fate of the lost as far as BCBC is concerned. As far as we're concerned, whether or not we're going to get to be involved in it. Faith promise. It is exciting. Lord, not how much do I have to give, how much will you let me give? That's the difference. That's a joyful heart, and God loves a cheerful giver. So that's what this card is all about. Now, we put it in there for you to pray about it this week. We put it in there so we could explain to you what's involved. And because some of you might be out of town this week, some of you might be gone on Sunday, and you might say, I'm going to be out of town. I know that. I won't be here, you know. Or some of you might say, you know, I'm going to be sick next Sunday. Let me encourage you to go ahead and fill this out today. And then you can tear that off and you just put this in the offering plate. Just put it in the offering plate. And you're expecting God to meet your need. Now sometimes I have given, please understand, I have given to God his 10%, and I've given to God the faith promise, not knowing for sure how I was going to do the electric bill. But who did I want on my side, the electric company or God? Let me see. And you know, every single time God stayed faithful. Every single time. Now, let's not be reckless. Let's be good stewards of what God has given to us. Let's not go and blow and waste the money God's entrusted with us and then expect God to do something, you know, to salvage that. No. No, be good stewards. But I want to recommend to you what you're going to hear this week from Brother Marwelli. I want to recommend to you that God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. And that's what this card is all about. Ushers, come on down, please. And feel free to put this in the offering plate. You do not have to be a member of the church to take part in Faith Promise Missions. Some of you have been visiting the church and be visiting the church to the day you die. Amen. And we're thankful for your faithfulness. Could be that you're more faithful than some of our church members. Amen. Amen. That's all right. You do not have to be a member of the church to take part in getting the gospel around the world. And so you pray about this. It is a spiritual endeavor, a spiritual thing. It's so good to see Brother Tom Taylor back here. God bless you, Brother Tom. He has a card here to the church, and it says, a big thank you for your phone calls, visits, flowers, and most of all, your prayers. He says that he will start treatments next week. Please continue praying, and we will get through this. Thanks, Tom Taylor. God bless you, Brother Tom. And the doctors are very concerned. God, the great physician, is in charge. And he's able to do what doctors cannot. So we're trusting the Lord, and we're praying for you and lifting you up. And so 20 years from now, we can still be serving God together. Amen. Amen. Well, do be in prayer for Alicia Robles. She'll be undergoing surgery this week. And we want to give praise to the Lord that a need has been met for them today, for her, and we rejoice in that. Thank you, church, for helping meet that need. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we quiet our hearts and humble our souls before you. Lord, we want to obey you. Every week, every day. But Lord, today is so special in the life of our church. This begins a week of our commitment to what you are committed to. You said you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You expect us to be involved in that. You expect us to do that. Lord, I pray we would not be disobedient. I pray, Lord, that we would serve you. We would give, and we would see your blessing in our life. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you that this is a giving church. I thank you, God, that this is a giving to missions church, both individually and corporately. Help us to continue to do that, because your shovel is much bigger than ours. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, orchestra. People need the Lord. Well, the pictures that you saw up there, that's just about half of the missionaries that we support. We support right now 95 missionaries, and we're praying that number will be 97 by the end of this conference, and we look forward to that. In your bulletin, there's a little chorus there. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I always do my part to win that soul for thee. Remain seated. We'll sing it one time, and then we'll stand and kind of learn it this time. Here we go now. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul. Sing one more time. Here we go. Pick it up now. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I always do my part to win that soul for me. Amen. We're going to sing it again in just a moment. The choir's going to come down, fellowship one with another, shake hands, greet one another. God bless you. Amen. Soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I always do my part to that soul for. One more time, sing it now, everyone. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I always do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Every visitor, we're glad that you're here. You're a special new friend of our church. Thank you for coming. And it's good to have a dear couple that I spent quite a long time with back there. Romy and Cheryl Smith from West Virginia, from Ripley there. And it's so good to have you all here. He's here in Jacksonville. He's having treatments, and pray for Brother Romy. And good to see you all. God bless you for being here. I didn't expect that. Just kind of surprised us today. So that's wonderful. Get your Bibles ready in just a moment. We'll look into God's Word, and Brother Marwelli has been here last year for the first time. He was here, and I did know Pastor's plans during Mission Conference. I knew what his plans were. He had confided in me about that, and I told Hope on the way home when I heard him preach. I told her, I said, we found our keynote speaker for next year after hearing him preach that one time. Brother Marwelli, he graduated from Bible College and started serving God immediately, youth ministry. He then moved to Michigan. God led him there. He pastored for 20 years. pastoring, and God using him in a mighty way there in Michigan. And now he's with First Bible. He'll tell you about that throughout this week, give you little updates and things throughout the week. And after the ensemble sings, he'll come and preach God's word. God bless you.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful music. Amen. Beautiful. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10 in your Bibles. While you're going there, let me say thank you for many of you who pray for us regularly. For those of you that are not aware of First Bible International, First Bible International is all about getting the Bible, the Word of God translated into the heart language of those who have never had a Bible in their language before. Nearly half of our world's population has never one time read John 3:16. In fact, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine never hearing that verse? You can go to lost people today. You can walk up and down your streets. You can go into your malls. And even people that are not churched know John 3:16 in North America. Thank you for helping us to get the Bible to those who have never heard even one time. We have had very exciting things happen over the course of the last year. And throughout the conference, I'll share different things with you. of those things. The highlight right now is that just last week, Brother Patterson, one of our translators, was able to send the final proof copy of the Mongolian script to Dr. Keene. It's the first time they've ever had a whole Bible in their language. We're very, very excited about that being done. Will be sent to print at Bearing Precious Seed very soon, and then a dedication service will be planned over there in Mongolia, and we give God all the glory and all the praise for that. Amen? Wonderful, wonderful things. Thank you for those of you that pray for my wife. I'm sorry she's not able to be here. Her name is Shelley, and she has congestive heart failure and atrial fibrillation. It's very difficult for her to travel all the time, although she is able to make most of the meetings, but this one just wasn't going to be able to work out for her. But I appreciate you praying very much for her. On a high note of that, we only have one child. His name is Jordan. He's married. Her name is Becky. And they're expecting our first grandchild in March. And so that is a life-changing event as we know it. And we're very excited about what God is going to do in the new grandchild and the baby's girl. That's a big deal for us. We have like 13 or 14 grandkids in the family and only one girl. So when Jordan said, "It's Dad, it's a girl," I said, "Are you sure? Are you positive?" And so we're pretty excited about what God is going to do in that right there. I hope that you will, throughout the course of the conference, stop by the display tables. Please make sure you pick up prayer cards from all the missionaries and pray earnestly for them. We'll be talking more about that throughout the conference. And a couple of highlights also for you to see back there. Throughout the course of the conference, there will be different unpublished word magazines on my table. They're all free. Just pick that up if you want. And it's wonderful missions reading. This is sent out by First Bible. It's printed quarterly out of Bearing Precious Seed. And it is a subscription. If you don't receive this, you would very much enjoy getting this. I believe it's one of the finest, best missions reading publications that there is available to us today. And very well done. Just help yourself to those if you can use it. And if you would subscribe to it, we'd love to have you be a part of that. And then also, anytime you see CDs on a table, you always want to know what's going on with the music. Well, you folks are very familiar with Brother Byron Fox, Bible Truth Music. These are just CDs to help children memorize the Bible to music. Every song is a Bible verse. They memorize the song. They memorize the Bible verse. And so there's many of those out there we can help you with also. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, what I'd like to do throughout the course of the week is to have a time where I just spend a few moments giving you some faith promise fact points. Faith promise fact points. Things that I like to say are facts about faith. That's kind of an interesting way to be able to think about that, and hopefully it'll make sense to you throughout the week. And the first one here is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And then we'll get into the message for this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege that is mine to be here at Volusia County Baptist Church. Lord, you know my heart. You know how I've looked forward to this meeting ever since last year. When Pastor called and asked if it could happen, and I was so thrilled and humbled. I remember pulling off the side of the road in tears, thanking you for another opportunity to be able to challenge folks regarding the needs of the unreached to the uttermost. Father, we need you to open our eyes in your word to behold wondrous things. We need you to calm our hearts just for a few moments and help us to see the things you'd have us to see and hear those things you'd have us to hear and think those thoughts you'd have us to think. And then come invitation time to have obedient spirits to say yes to the moving of the powerful Holy Spirit of God. Father, what you could do here for the cause of missions here in this their Jerusalem and around the world is greater than what we could ever imagine or think. And so, Father, I pray that we would be in the way to accomplish all that you would have for us. And we'll thank you for it and trust it by faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, I believe that God is a God of order. Amen? A God of order. And that is, everybody falls into that order that God has established for all of us. Order number one is obviously to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
If you don't have a Bible reason to know for sure that you're going to heaven, you can take care of that today. We certainly want you to know that as you will be challenged for the needs of people all around the world through the different missionaries throughout the course of the week, we are not any more concerned for one of those missionaries on the other, or one of those people on the other side of the world, than we are for you. This is the moment for you. Now is the time. Now is the accepted day. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope today you'll get that settled, receive Jesus Christ by faith, and know for sure that heaven is your home. Order number two, those of you who have been saved, is to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's not something that we wait for. That's not something that we are asked to do. It's commanded by Almighty God. Amen? A picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, baptism, church membership is the third order. Why would you not be a member of a wonderful church like this? Why would you not want to? It's amazing the things that we easily become a member of, but for some reason the thing we struggle with the most is church membership, which is the greatest opportunity that is afforded to us today. Everything that God does, we believe he does through the authority of the local church. And so to be a part of that authority is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so saved, baptized, church membership, and then tithing, as Pastor so wonderfully talked about already. We're not going to go more over that. 10% of the first fruits of your income. But make sure that you understand that the tithe is not just money. It certainly is money, but we need to give them our time. We need to give them our abilities. We need to give them our talents. We need to give them ourselves. Every bit as much as we need to give them our finances. And then you have faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 15, it says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope. Notice the phrase, when your faith is increased. Faith promise giving. I like to say faith promise giving is money that God will give through you that he would not have given to you except he knew you were going to give it to missions. Let me say it again. Money that God will give through you. Not money that God's going to give to you and it stops right there. And by the way, God knows. He already knows. He knows if that money is going to come to you and if it's going to go through you to World Missions or if it's going to stop right there and go to the Ford dealership and buy a new car or buy a new lawnmower or buy some shoes. That would be ladies. Whatever the case might be. A new fishing pole or a golf club. God knows if that money is going to go through you or if it's going to stop at you. It's a wonderful thing when you decide to start giving to faith promise giving that it has nothing to do with what you can figure out. It has everything to do with what he wants to do through you. You become the conduit. God conduits through you into the local church out to worldwide missions. What a wonderful experience that is. I like to say that everybody ought to be involved in faith promise giving. Everybody ought to give something. If everybody in the church gave something to faith promise giving, you would not be able to believe what you could do for the cause of Christ literally around the world for his glory. Everybody giving something from the youngest all the way to the oldest. And let me say in regards to the youngest, don't cut them short. If you have a child that comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I'd like to give to missions. Don't say, well, when you get old enough to understand it, you can. Listen, it's faith. They know faith more than we do. They can experience faith a whole lot easier than we can experience faith. How many of you have ever been walking down the road and you saw some money on the side of the road and you picked it up? How many? Anybody ever picked up anything more than $10? More than $20? How much? $100. $100 bill. Glory to God. And all God's people said? Yeah, wonderful right there. Well, you know, when we do that, when we're walking down the road, we bend over and we pick up that money and we go, I can put some gas in the tank. I can pay the power bill. I can, you know, it'll help me with my mortgage. A child doesn't do that. A child doesn't pick up a quarter or a dollar or $10 and go, money in the gas tank. No child's going to do that. But when the child is understanding faith, promise, giving, the first thought that they think, well, maybe after a Snickers bar, is faith, promise, money. Don't cut them short. Let your children understand the values of living by faith and to live that thing out. And then ask yourself that simple question in verse 15, when your faith is increased. When's the last time you personally increased your faith? In God. That's what this is all about. It's not faith in the preacher. It's not faith in the church. It's not faith in your job. It's not faith in your investments. It's not faith in your family. It's faith in God, who will never fail you, who will never let you down, whose resources are not determined by our government spending. No, God Almighty, who owns it all, amen? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills that the cattle roam on. That God. When's the last time you increased your faith in that God? You say, well, why do I want to do that? It answers it. When your faith is increased, that we, that's your missionaries, that's your missionary presence here in your church, that we shall be enlarged by you. That is when you trust God more by faith than the missionaries' work that you're sending money out to. Their ministries are now enlarged. His church now goes from 2 or 3 families to 10 or 15 families to 20 or 25 families. Amen. Because of your giving, because of your faith, that will be enlarged by you. Why? 16, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. That's what it's all about. That's the end game. That's why we do what we do in verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so let me encourage you, as you are praying about that faith promise commitment card, and you're thinking about the fact that this commitment card is money that God wants to give through me, that he would not have given to me, except now I know that he knows that I'm going to give it to worldwide missions. How much can you trust God for? How much? And that amount that you just put in your head, is that an amount that you can figure out? And there's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord for all of you that give to Faith Promise Giving by what you can figure out. That's a wonderful thing. But some of you are going to take it further than that. Some of you are going to get it to the point to where when you see that end amount at the end of the year that you gave, you're going to be calling preacher. And you're going to be saying, preacher, who takes care of the records? Because I need to talk to him. Preacher's going to say, I'm sorry, is there a problem? Oh, no. No, there's not a problem, except I think there's a mistake. Because there's no way that I gave this amount. There's no way that we can't possibly give that amount. And you talk to her or he, and he goes, oh, yeah, it's correct. It's because you didn't give it. He gave it through you. What a wonderful place to be. What a wonderful thing to look forward to by the end of the year, seeing that amount and saying, Lord, there's no way. Only you could have done this. Glory to God. Wonderful. When your faith is increased. I hope you'll increase your faith this year for sure. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. The scripture says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I love that third word, we. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we usually associate you with a group of people. Everybody in here likes to be associated with different groups. There's some biking groups and some walking groups and some running groups and some gardening groups. And those of you that get together to watch football and baseball and golf and whatever it is, there's a group of people that you like to gather with. It's easy for you to converse with that group. It's easy for you to give some facts and some statistics about that particular group. It's your we. It's your we that you enjoy being around, you enjoy fellowshipping with. I don't know about you, but for me personally, my we is this crowd. I'd rather be around God's crowd in God's church than any group that there is out there. Don't get me wrong, I like a whole lot of things for sure, but I don't like any of them more than I like this crowd. God's crowd is a wonderful place to be, and when you enjoy this crowd more than any other crowd, then the rest of this passage is going to make a lot of sense to you. But if there's other crowds that you'd like to be around more than this crowd, this passage is going to give you some struggle. But for those of you that love this crowd, what does it say? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. You see, when you love this crowd, you want to be involved with this crowd. And you'll get a ministry in this church. I encourage you to get a ministry. Find something to do. Use your gift, use your ability, use your talents that is given to you by Almighty God to do something for Him through His local church. Put your fingerprints on this place. Put your talent to use for the glory of God in the church. There's something for all of you to do. I can hear some of you saying right now, whoa, preacher, look around. There's a lot of people here. You think there's something for everybody? Really? Everybody? I promise you. If you'll go to pastor and say, Pastor, I do believe, I have some abilities in the kitchen, gardening, lawn, cleaning, choir, music, whatever that it might be. I'd like to be used more. It'll take pastor about that long to give you a list of things that you can do. Amen? There's something for everyone. When you love the place, you'll want to be involved in the place. And then when you're involved in the place, now you'll want those out there that you know that you love, that you fellowship with, that's a part of your life, you want them to come in here and be a part of this with you when you're involved. When you just attend, when you just come in and sit down and sing and attend, it's easy for you to do that alone. But when you get a ministry, now you've got an effort in the place. Now it's not so easy for those that you love. It's not easy for you not to be okay with them not being here. You want them here. Let me encourage you, love the place. You see, when we're talking about missions, we're talking about worldwide efforts. That mission starts right here. There's no way that I can possibly burden your heart for someone on the other side of the world if you don't care about the people that live right here. If you don't care about that person that you work right next to that shows no evidence, as far as you can tell, of being saved. If you don't care about that neighbor that lives next to you, they've lived next to you for years and you've never one time shed one tear begging God for that person to be saved. How can we expect you to be burdened about someone in Burkina Faso if you don't care about the person that has the address right next door? What about the family member? What about your blood relative? That if they were to unexpectedly die right now, as far as you know, they'd spend forever in hell. Have you spent 1 minute at this altar in tears begging God to save that loved one? And if not, you're not going to pray through that booklet the pastor's going to give you. You're not going to earnestly care for the missionaries on the other side of the world. Therefore, seeing we, if I could encourage you at the very beginning of this conference, love this we more than ever. So much that you'll get involved in the ministries available for you to use your gifts and your talents and your abilities. Love it so much that you'll find this a frequented place where you are begging God for the salvation of those that you care for. That's in your way. 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, notice, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Wow, there's a lot of that going on today. Unfortunately, there's hundreds of churches within driving range of this church today that's right now having a, they call it church service, and they'll never even reference this book, much less open it. They'll never quote a Bible verse. They'll never read it together like you did this morning. It's not their final authority in everything that they do in practice. Thank God that's not the case here. I hope you on a very regular basis thank God that you are able to be involved in a church that loves the Word of God more than anything else. And that you have a pastor that loves God's Word, that it's the sole final authority in everything that he does and practices, and he's not ashamed to bring you into his office and open the blessed pages of this book and help you with whatever that you're going through. I hope you thank God that you have a man of God in this place that loves the Word of God. One way that I know that you're going to be able to do that is the way that you pray. Let me ask you a question. How many of you use a prayer list when you pray? Just a few of you. Let me take just a moment and encourage you to start developing a prayer list. There's a whole lot of reasons, and it's another message in itself, but let me just give you a couple highlights. Preacher, why would I want to use a prayer list when I pray? Well, number one, you probably have lots of people and lots of things and lots of organizations that you want to pray for. You probably do. And if you're trusting your mind to remember all those people and events and places and organizations when you kneel to pray, if you're trusting your mind to remember that, you're exceptional. You know as well as I do, you can't possibly remember all those things at a setting. It's better to trust a short pencil than a long memory. Amen? Write those things down. Develop a prayer list that will work for you. On Monday, I pray through these things. On Tuesday, I pray for my family. On Wednesday, I pray for churches I'm involved in. On Thursday, I pray for missionaries. On Friday, I pray for government and all those that are in authority. However that you break it down. And then when you get all that written down, now when you kneel to pray, by the end of the week, you've literally prayed for everything that you know that God's laid on your heart to pray for. And that's very rewarding. But even more than that, now you're recognizing answer to prayer more than you ever have before. Question. Why? Why would God Almighty, the creator of the universe, even listen to me? Wow. What a humbling thought. That Jehovah Jireh listens to me pray. But not only does he listen, he answers. Why? Why does God answer your prayer? I think the answer is found in verse number 15. In verse number 15, the Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many," what's that next word in your Bible? Look at it carefully. It's redound, not rebound. Redound. And that word redound means results in the glory of God. That word redound means sent back to the glory of God. That is, the more grace and the more mercy that I get, the more glory goes back to Almighty God. And so would you agree with me that the number one reason why God would ever, ever even answer prayer is that he might receive glory? Amen? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. So, if you're praying for these things earnestly over and over and over again, and God has answered it, but because there's no organization in your prayer life, you forgot to even recognize the fact that it's been answered, and he received no glory. How sad is that? Maybe one of the issues is answer. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, when you were growing up, I'll wait a few minutes, give some of you enough time to get way back there. Okay. How many of you remember when you were growing up that you heard the answer no a whole lot more than yes whenever you asked something from mom and dad? And you agree with me that the reason they said no so much is because they just flat out didn't like you. Well, you know that's not the reason. You know the reason is because mom and dad, believe it or not, knew the end result of what you're asking was going to be far worse if they said yes. And because they love you so much, they did not want you to experience the end result of what a yes would be. And so they answered with no, because no was a whole lot better than yes. Right? We understand that now. There's some teenagers in here going, what'd you just say? Preacher, have you ever had this happen before? I'm sure in the course of your services, sometime you'll stop and say, does anybody have any prayer requests? Any answers to prayer? You do that, right? Have you ever one time in all your years of ministry yet had someone, when you asked that question, someone in the back raise their hand and go, me, preacher, me. I've been praying about something for a long, long time. I am so thankful God has finally answered that prayer request. And the answer is no. Never? Is no an answer? Is no an answer, church? I remember one time when I was growing up wondering if my dad really meant no. Only one time. I did not have to challenge that anymore. One time I figured it out. My dad meant no when he said no. But I wonder how many times we pray and 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 we pray. And God's already answered. We just don't like it. Wait a minute. Does not our Bible teach us how much more does our Heavenly Father love us than our earthly Father? Yes? And so if the answer from God Almighty is no, is it not because He knows tomorrow? And He knows the end result of what we're asking, if He said yes, would be a whole lot worse than the fact that He's saying no, and because He loves us so much, the answer is no. Don't misunderstand me. There are some things no is never the answer. Amen? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're praying for someone to be saved, that answer is not no. That answer absolutely is that person gets saved. You keep praying. Amen? But I'm wondering if we, as we develop the prayer list, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. The effectual, effective, fervent, detailed, heat-related effort put into the prayer. So what does that mean? What that means is, if your prayer for your pastor is, Father, thank you so much for our pastor. I pray that you bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. Please don't misunderstand me. On behalf of pastor, if you pray for him that way, thank you. Thank you. But can I appeal to many of you effective, fervent prayer warriors? He needs so much more. Father, bless the pastor is not going to get it done. He's a husband. He's a father. He's a pastor. He needs prayer in study. He needs prayer against the onslaughts of the wicked one. He needs prayer in protection of his mind and his heart. He needs guidance as he's reading through the Word of God, that he doesn't always have to read through the Word of God with the anticipation of preaching, but sometimes just to get what God has for him. He needs wisdom and finances. He needs prayer to keep his body healthy for the glory of God, that he can do for a long time what God wants him to do. There's so much he needs prayer for. Father, just bless the pastor is not enough. A prayer list will develop that. Can I say to you, 95 missionaries? Father, thank you for our missionaries. Ask that you'll bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, on behalf of all of your missionaries, if that's your prayer, thank you, because I'm one of them. Thank you. But can I tell you, we need a lot more. Effectual, fervent prayer. Then, Father, bless the missionaries. We need more. Your missionaries are going through things you can never imagine. They're going through things you would never even think about. I was with a missionary not too long ago. He was in the process of taking some Bibles up to a very remote area. And he was going through some mountainous areas to get there. And he and his team had to stop for the night. They couldn't make it in one day. They set up camp and they were having a good time singing and praying and so on. And they all went to sleep. The next morning when they woke up, the wife said to the missionary, "Honey, are you okay?" He said, "Well, yeah. Why?" She said, "Because you just would not stop moving last night. What in the world is wrong with you? If you're going to be like this the whole trip, I'm never going to get any sleep." He said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I wish you'd have woke me up. I didn't realize it. Wake me up next time." She said, "Okay, but I hope this stops." They packed everything up, and when they were packing up the tent, laying under the tent was a 15-foot boa constrictor that they'd been laying on all night. Is anybody going to go home tonight, look under the mattress, and see if there's a snake under there before you go to sleep? You say, "Now I am." Nor are you even going to think about that. Missionaries are dealing with things that you and I would never even consider that we would have to deal with. Father, bless them. They need so much more. Prayerless accomplish all of that. And then it says in verse number 4, "In whom the little g god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Who is that little g god, church? Satan himself, right? Now what has he done? Blinded the minds of them which believe not. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what country that you are introduced to this week. You will never find a people in any place in the world that's not worshiping something. God's placed within every one of us that spot that can only be filled by Him. They've never met Him yet. Once they meet that one God that's sufficient to meet their every need, everything changes, but until then, they're worshiping rocks, they're worshiping trees, they're worshiping animals. I read about a people group just a couple of weeks ago. They're worshiping gnats. N-A-T-S, gnats. Why would you worship a gnat? Maybe there's more of them than there is anything else in the area. I'm not sure, but they're putting their entire eternity in a gnat. Everything changes once they meet this God, in whom the little g god of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Could you imagine being there when God said, "Let there be light"? Someone challenged me on that one time. They said, "Preacher, do you know that there's really no such thing as darkness?" I said, "Oh, okay, you're a whole lot smarter than I am, so help me." He said, "Well, darkness is just an absence of light." Well, if that's true, and it probably is, and there's only been darkness one time, and that's before God said, "Let there be light." Have you ever been in that deep, dark cavern? Have you ever been down there so far down and they tell you they're about to turn the lights off? They have to tell you ahead of time because we do not operate very long in that kind of darkness. Our bodies are not made to do it. And they turn those lights off and you put your hand as close to your face as you can and you can't even see the silhouettes of your fingers. You been there? How many of you been there? How much light does it take to drive out that darkness? Do we have to have a 500 million watt candle power spotlight to get that darkness out? Or can it be just a candle? Could it be just a gospel light? Could we as a church just do our part to get them the gospel for the first time? That darkness can be chased away. But why? Why would we do all of that? Because of verse 6. Verse 6 says, "For God," capital G, "who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." We have it. Church, you're holding the Word of God. You're holding the precious Word of God. Someone said if the Apostle Paul had gone the other way in his missionary journey, we would have been left out. We would not have the Scriptures. But we have it. "To whom much is given, of him much is required." Why? Why do we have it? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. It's all about the glory of God. Everything that we're going to do this week, it's all about the glory of God. Every dime that you put in the offering plate, it's all about the glory of God. Every time these people wonderfully sing, it's all about the glory of God. Every time an instrument key is played or a trumpet valve is pushed, it's all about the glory of God. But do we even know what that is? The glory of God. Someone came up to me a while ago and they said, "Brother Marwelli, I've known you for a long, long time. But there's something different about you now. Do you have any idea what it is?" And I didn't even have to hesitate. I said, "Thank you for noticing. I absolutely know what the difference is." They said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "I understand for the first time in my life the glory of God. I've never understood it before." Is there anybody in here that has a child? Maybe they're 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever age. They're young. And when they go to sleep, they're not going to sleep unless they have this particular item in their hand. Blanket, bear, whatever. How many of you have? You do? And what's her name? Gemma. Jenna. Gemma. And how old is Gemma? A year and a half. And what's the item? A blanket. Now, do I understand that Gemma's not going to sleep if the blanket's in her hand? And so you're at a missions conference like this, and everybody wants a piece of you in these missions conferences. Right? Okay. And so one of them invites you over. And you go over, you're having some fun, you're playing some games, and your husband looks at you and says, "Honey, we got to go." You pack everything up, you go back to the room wherever you're staying, you tuck Gemma in and pray with her, and Gemma looks up at you and says, "Where's my blankie?" You look at him and say, "You got it, right?" He looks back at you and says, "I thought you did." And then he looks back at his sweet little baby girl and says, "Honey, it's okay. We'll get it for you tomorrow. Just go to sleep." Not working. Somebody's got to go all the way back across town or wherever that it is and get that stinking blanket. Don't get offended that I said stinking blanket. She's a year and a half. It's been puked on, walked on, the dogs have laid on it. It's disgusting at best. In fact, please don't take this offensively, but is there anything about that stinking blanket that you love enough to go all the way back across town and get that? Wiener, this is a perfect time. Let her cry. She'll stop. Everything will be all right. Leave the blanket on the other side of town. How about Gemma? Is there anything about Gemma that will make you walk uphill both ways, 10 foot of snow, 30 degrees below zero, barefoot, to get that blanket. You see, it's not about the blanket. It's all about the girl. And it's not about the people that we're going to reach in Afghanistan. It's not about the Bible that they're going to get for the first time in Mongolia. It's not about the project that we're working on right now for India, for the Fadu-speaking people. It's not about that. It's not about them. It's all about Him. It's all about the glory of God. And as you're praying this week, and as you're participating this week, it's not about the money. It's not about your attendance. It's about the fact of what we are doing. Someone somewhere is going to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and that's another person to give glory to Almighty God. And that's what it's all about. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us. Help us individually. Help us corporately as a church, that we would more effectively pray for one another and for our missionaries, and for our pastor. Help us to see that when somebody hears the gospel for the first time ever, that light is bright. They have a chance to be saved. And it's somebody else to bring you glory. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play in just a moment. And we'll stand in just a moment. And you'll have an opportunity to make a decision. There's some folks here that need to find a place at this altar to pray for that blood relative that's not saved, to pray for that coworker that you work next to, that neighbor that has yet to hear that Jesus loves them. You need to pray for them. You need to beg God that those people will be saved soon. There are some here that needs to start praying for their pastor and their missionaries more intently, more specifically. There are some that needs to have somebody open a Bible and show them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. So before the instruments play and before we stand, let me ask you one very specific question. Do you know? Do you have a Bible reason to know you're going to heaven? Is there one or more in here that would say, "Preacher, I don't. If I were to unexpectedly die right now, I am not positive that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure. But I know I want to. I know I'd love to have somebody show me from the Word of God how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. I want to take care of that right now. I want to take care of it right now." If that's true, would you just lift your hand as a testimony of that anywhere in this room? And I'm looking. I don't want to miss you. Just hold it up high so I can see it. I want someone to show me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. I want to settle it right now. Just hold it up high. Anybody like that in the room? I'm looking. All right, that either means that everybody in here is saved or someone who is still saying no. And if you're still saying no, please, we implore you, before it's eternally too late, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's done everything He can for you to be saved. It's entirely up to you to receive Him as your personal Savior. I hope you'll do it before you leave this building today. as the instruments begin to play. Let's stand together, and as we stand, would you stand and move? Would you stand and come? Some need to come and pray for those loved ones. Some need to come and say, I'm going to develop that prayer list. I'm going to start working on that. Some need to come and pray for missionaries like you never have before. Whatever the need is, will you come right now? Come on. Come on. Before we sing, folks are coming. We invite you to come. Pray for those who you've never thought about praying for before. Give glory to Almighty God.
Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. For the Dave's going to lead that song with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. There's still opportunity for you to join these in victory of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If God moved upon your heart, you can leave here and say, no, I'm not going to go forward, Lord. I'll do it at home. Chances are you won't. Not if you won't obey Him here. As we sing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. One verse, this is your call. As these are praying, here you come.
Just as I am.
That's right. Amen. Praise God.
One plea,
obedient Christians are happy Christians. They're blessed Christians. It's the victorious life that God's promised through Jesus Christ. If you're a lady will pray with you. If you're a man will pray with you. Some came on that verse. There's time for you. We'll sing one more. How about that? One more. You come now. Come on. Someone said if they sing one more verse, I'll go. I'll go, Lord. Well, you promised. God's still working in your heart. Jesus, we humble our hearts now, and we thank you for what you've done in our midst here today. We thank you for the word of God that was preached so clearly. And Lord, I pray now that you would help those that don't know you as their Savior not to leave this building, to have a fear of departing and getting in their car, Lord, without Jesus Christ in their life. I pray, Lord, they be gloriously saved today. And Lord, for the rest of us that have been saved, I pray that we'd be obedient. Lord, I pray that we would have a vibrant prayer life. I pray, Lord, that we would look at what you have invested into us and help us to invest it into your work, talent, time, treasure. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that we would do it for you. Time is short, and help us to be serving you. Thank you, Lord, for the direction of the meeting, Brother Marwelli and every missionary that's here. Lord, watch over those that are traveling that'll be with us tonight. As missionaries, I pray, God, that you would give the wounds safety as they travel this afternoon and be with us tonight now. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Look up this way, please. We'll be dismissed in just a moment. I want to remind you, I believe that we have calendars. They came in this week, and so if you did not get a church calendar, those are available back there. I'm going to ask our missionaries to slip on back there to their tables. And they'll be back there at their displays. And I invite you to stop by, pick up a prayer card. This will be some way to remind yourself of their ministry. They have some information you can pick up. Brother Marwelli had the free magazine and all of these things. So stop by there, if you will. Brother Jim Lau, come close us in prayer, please, if you would. Good to have you back on your feet. He's limping a little bit, and if you'll close us in prayer, we'd be dismissed. 4:30 choir practice, orchestra, and all of that. A place to serve at 4:30. And by the way, ladies, thank you so very much for being willing to help with our nursery during choir practice. That means so much. Miss Barbara has her hands full now looking after Brother Tom. And there might be some other ladies that might want to help with that as well. So thank you so very much. She was our first hand to go up last Sunday night, that she'd be willing to do that. And she's been doing that now for 21 years. And so maybe there might be some that would help her along the line. That would be great. Remember all the announcements. 6 o'clock, be back in your place tonight. God bless you. Brother Jim, close in prayer, please.
Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, that we can come to the house of God. We thank you for what we've heard. We thank you about the Bible, the Word of God. God, help us to send the light out. Help us to do what you called us to do. Bless this church, all these missionaries, and may God save souls. It's almost too late, but we're waiting and listening for the shout, the voice, the trump of God. So, Lord, I pray, save souls, keep us saved, and bless our new government that's coming in this coming week, and bless our people. And may we all come together. In Jesus' name, amen.